This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started way back in 1979 when this great radio station signed on. The owner was Roger Coleman, and a young whippersnapper by the name of John Hoshite was the general manager who would eventually become owner. We're from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. Has he still reached out? Is he going to go to the state tournament basketball?
He has not reached out yet. Okay. Next time he's in here to record his weekly farm auction report, I'll bring it up to him.
He needs to go next year. Yeah. We need to take him on. We need to take this show on the road, man. All right. Well, we have a great guest coming up, Dustin Murray, who serves as the Mercer County high school softball coach, of course, the AD as well. I think he's been with the school district now for 14 years, various capacities. And maybe we can ask him to talk about, I remember a story where he had to intervene with a fan that was getting wild at one of the games of visiting.
Macomb, fan. I was in school during that.
Yeah. So maybe he can talk about that. Maybe we'll have a Terry Bewley reference today, right?
Probably.
Maybe a Glenn Cook reference. Maybe we'll talk about conference affiliation and new teams getting in the track, and
the 5-0 Golden Eagles in softball.
That's right. But I was thinking too, as we begin, I'm going to ask Dustin Murray to relay, because he played at Lyle High School in a great, I think they were the Interstate 8 conference then, and I argue the best named high school football player in the history of Illinois was in that conference. So when View from the West, if they're listening today, Greg Armstrong, I'd like to hear who he believes is the best named high school football player in the state of Illinois. And I think Dustin Murray will answer the question correctly, because he played against the kid today. But a lot coming up with Dustin Murray. We'll talk about softball. And I think I don't recollect, since we've covered spring sports here on WRMJ, that there's been a game in March where the temperatures have been in the 80s and you could potentially put sunscreen on, and that was the case.
Or teams playing five games in March.
And a nice start by the Golden Eagles, and I think kind of a wide array on their schedule so far, the different competition they've played. They opened beating the defending 1A state champs. I think they have West Central on their schedule, who's 1 and 1A, and then we know the track. West is loaded at the top with Rockridge, and Sherrard is off to such a great start. And then I think Riverdale is probably going to be really good. And there's been softball tradition in Orion. So we've talked about, you know, all the sports in the track this year really have been fun to cover, with not only good talent, but kind of the local rivalries. And I think you're going to see that in the spring sports with softball, of course, baseball. And then I think when you talk about a conference track meet, can you imagine
12
that?
Schools.
Yeah, it's going to be so awesome. And that means something to be a conference champ. And I think we'll maybe ask Coach Murray a little bit about maybe if they could develop. We talked to Steve Amy about this earlier this year, the Princeton track coach, about developing maybe some type of conference championship situation, whether that would be in, you know, just an individual conference meet for wrestling or kind of a dual meet format, because I think there's so much rich tradition and talent with wrestling too. It'd be neat to crown, you know, individual wrestling champs in the conference, and what that would correct maybe, you know, the argument over who the true all conference right. members are, right?
Well, and I agree with you that winning like a conference championship in the track in this league is really meaningful, because there's a lot of really good, you know, athletic programs. All 12 schools, you know, it feels like are strong and around the school calendar. But like you said, I think the spring should be pretty fun. I mean, speaking about softball, you know, and we'll talk about this with Coach Murray, I'm sure, too. But I think there's really four teams going into the softball conference season that can say we probably have a chance to win the conference title in the track West. I mean, Rock Ridge, I think, has won 8 in a row conference titles, and they've won regionals 9 seasons in a row. And, of course, you know, state trophies 6 years in a row, maybe the best program in the state. So, of course, they're going to be in the mix. Sherrard is off to an undefeated start. They have a lot of talent back from last season. Riverdale is a team that, you know, was playing for a sectional championship against Rock Ridge in Peoria last year, and then Mercer County off to such a good start too, with a lot of talent returning. So yeah, those softball games throughout the conference season should be pretty fun too. And on the baseball side, I know Sherrard has become such a good program with Coach Basal there. They've kind of reestablished themselves, I think. And with, you know, a guy like Aiden Taranas, it feels like they'll probably win just about every time he pitches. And then Rock Ridge has 2 or 3 really good starting pitchers too, that they should have a pretty good year. Riverdale always solid in baseball. I think Mercer County off to a decent start too at 4-2. So yeah, it should be a fun spring for sure. It just, like I said, like you said, it's crazy how we're not even to, you know, April yet, and everybody's played like, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 games. That's pretty rare, because sometimes you're still waiting to, you know, begin the season at this point.
Well, and I think too, I was thinking about it today coming in, that, you know, we'll turn the calendar to April on Tuesday, and you just look at how fast kind of the high school sports season goes, because April is the last full month of high school sports for basically every school, and with the exception of, we hope a local team gets to the state baseball finals.
The exception
finals
of like Rock Ridge softball every
yeah.
year, yeah.
So, I mean, that's how fast the year is going. And I know, especially when the indoor track season ends and we flip to the outdoor season, which begins next week, the indoor top times event was held at Illinois Wesleyan yesterday in the Bloomington Normal area.
And today.
Yeah,
Sherrard,
for the 2A.
2A competes yeah. today.
And then Mercer County had a good group there, and I think, was it the Blazer kid?
Dalen Blazer third, yeah. Not the Blazer kid.
Yeah, well,
Dalen.
There's so many.
Right.
Well, John would call him Troy Blazer, maybe.
Right, yeah.
But that would be his uncle.
Right.
So anyway, Dalen Blazer, congratulations to him. And I always think it's, you know, the change from the indoor season, especially in this part of the state now, but the weather has cooperated where they could have had an outdoor season in March this year anyway. But so we get to, and you think about like the track sectionals are what, like 5 weeks away?
Yeah,
the outdoor track
sectionals. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
usually in early to mid-May. So that's how fast the track season is going. And then I think kind of a neat story today with Mercer County Baseball, where they play the Amboy Clippers, who are coached by who?
Mercer County grad Cade Sharp. All right. I'm rooting for the Clippers today. Sorry, everybody.
Well, so who – this is going to be interesting, because Connor Sharp is on the Mercer County staff. So I want to know who Tom Sharp and yeah. Stacey Sharp are rooting for today.
I'm rooting for Mercer County in the JV game, but Amboy in the varsity game. So because I think Connor's the JV coach.
So. Oh, okay. So maybe like a 2-1, 18-inning game in the varsity.
No, I don't want them to have to sit through that. I don't want the Sharp – family to have to sit through 18 innings up in Amboy. So I'm hoping for a regulation 7-inning, 1-0 quick contest.
I can't believe Cade Sharp is already teaching and coaching. Holy smokes. But good luck to him. Is that their opener today ever?
No,
or they played already?
They've played like 3 or 4 games.
How they?
I don't know the record. They've won at least once, I know.
We need to get Cade Sharp on the
air. Yeah, maybe.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have that going on today, and another looks like, you know, get the games in today. As far as our broadcast schedule, we got some games coming up
next Thursday. Sherrard at West Central in softball, and then Friday Rock Ridge at Ridgewood in softball.
Yeah, that'll be a good game Thursday. West Central, number one in the Illinois Coaches Association.
Preseason number one. They haven't updated those yet. They've played three games. They just destroyed Galesburg 17-0, and then they swept a doubleheader from West Central yesterday. From Stark County yesterday. West Central won both games. The first game was relatively close. I think it was maybe like 7-3 or something, and then the second game was like 15-0. So,
all right, and we look at, you know, again, Dustin Murray coming in today, and he'll give us a snapshot of, you know, we'll talk softball, of course, with the Golden Eagles off to that 5-0 start, including the win over Alleman last night up in the Quad Cities. We'll talk some conference stuff today. Anything specifically you kind of want to hear from a track conference standpoint, Ty?
I think I'm more interested in just kind of his take as the athletic director in Mercer County's first, you know, school year as a track member. I think everybody has loved it. I mean, I have. I haven't heard one complaint, really. I mean, other than it's a little bit harder to win games, but, like, that's how it should be, mm-hmm. right? So, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It like, is harder to win now in conference, but it means a heck of a lot more to beat, you know, Rock Ridge than it does to beat Galva or whoever. And that it doesn't mean any disrespect to that those schools, but, like, when you're triple the size of everybody you're playing, it just isn't really as meaningful or impactful, I think. So I think it's been great. I'm interested to hear what he thinks kind of from the administrative side. I mean, I'm sure, like, at least from the games I've been to, the crowds have been, I mean, infinitely bigger. There's been infinitely more energy in the gym or at the field or whatever. So it's been a great, you know, transition, I think, and it just is so exciting that this is, you know, the new reality from now until forever. I mean, Mercer County will be in the same league and competing for conference championships with Rock Ridge, Sherrard Orion, Monmouth, Roseville, a.k.a. the schools they should be competing for conference titles with. So I'm excited to hear about that. And also, I mean, it's just this kind of – there's been so much, like, shifting with conferences to see if there's been any talk about anything like that. I don't think so. I mean, I think the league is in a pretty stable spot. I mean, it's probably, you know, in terms of the area, it's like the premier small school conference around here. The track is, there's no doubt about that. So I think it's probably in a pretty stable place. I mean, if I was a smaller school, that's the league I'd want to be in, because that's where all the best teams are at.
Yeah, and the only thing I'm going to – he's probably like, great, oh, as he'll be on here momentarily. I'm going to whine at him a little bit about – I still – and Glenn Cook agrees with me on this if he's listening. I don't like the setup for the spring sports as it relates to baseball and softball, where the schools play each other twice during the same week, where I think it's Monday, Thursday for softball, where, for example, like Rock Ridge would play Mercer County Monday at the Apollo Diamond, and then the following Thursday they would play at Rock Ridge. And I just think there's something, you know, to be said about, you know, you play them early in the conference season, and then you have the rematch late in the conference season. And I never understood really the rationale of why they've always scheduled baseball and softball that way. So that's my whine today.
Yeah, I don't know either. But like I said last week, this is like the third straight week you've brought up that exact same point. And I'll come back with what I said last week too, I guess, if we're just going to repeat ourselves. It's that so many of those games end up getting postponed anyway that it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's rare you play the two games in the same week. Anyway, I think, but no, I agree that I think, but with baseball, I get it, because then it's probably a different pitcher you see. I'm fine with that, but like in softball, when it's the same pitcher, I can get on board with what you're saying.
All right, anything else from this week that stood out with any games or any meets or anything that took place?
Not really. I mean, I think we kind of covered it all. I mean, you know, so far this season, like we touched on, Mercer County and Sherrard both still undefeated in softball. I mean, Rock Ridge has lost once, but it was to Rock Island. They're really good again. And then on the baseball side, I think it's a little more up in the air in terms of maybe who the favorite is in the area, at least in the conference, I should say, because there just hasn't been a big enough sample size, I think, yet to kind of see where teams fall in. But the conference season officially starts April 7th is the first day of conference games in baseball and softball.
All right. And then the other thing I was thinking about is we're in the off season for sports like football and basketball, right? Haven't heard many coaching changes yet. So, you know, it looks like most of the coaches in the area and our conferences are going to be primarily the same. I know with Mercer County's made the football coaching change, but it looks like everything else pretty much status, which is great because I think that always adds to the rivalries when you have those coaches at the same places for a long time.
I know in like football and the track, Mendota has a new head coach. Jim Eustace, who used to coach at St. Bede, is their head coach now. And then Hall, I believe, is still looking to fill their vacant head coaching position for football. And then I think like Bureau Valley also has a new coach this year as well. And Knoxville does too, I think.
Well, that'll be interesting
in
then.
Football.
You know, because Jim Eustace has had great success at Peru St. Bede, and to see if he can turn that Mendota thing around because they have such great facilities. I know Mercer County will play them week 9 again next season, and that game will be up in Mendota. And that's a great facility, but they've had such great success with soccer, and so they're one of those
schools. They were great in boys soccer. They were a state finalist in boys soccer last year, and they had a pretty solid boys basketball season too this year. So they've got athletes in that school, and it's a decent, it's over 500 kids, I think, at Mendota. And like you said, that if you've never been there, that football facility is amazing. It's turf and beautiful, and then, you know, their gym is awesome too. I know we were there a couple of years ago when the sectional was there in Rock Ridge. I think it was the sectional title game that year, wasn't it? Rock Ridge versus Farmington in Mendota.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Rock Ridge had to play Eureka in the semifinals that year.
Yeah, thank God that was at Sherrard this year.
But they're in one of those situations, but Mendota, the conference, where even if they're at 500 and you're talking about fall sports, you know, they're dealing with four fall sports with soccer, football, cross country, and golf. And normally one of those three is going to be impacted by numbers, you know. So, I didn't realize that Jim Eustace taken over Mendota. But again, that, you know, that's, like I said, our, you know, local coaches in our area and the western side of the conference looks to be pretty status quo. So that'll be interesting.
And then I know Monmouth Roseville girls basketball coach Scott Weber, he's retiring. So this was his last season. They had a great year, won a great regional championship game over Sherrard and Orion. And then they gave Deer Creek Mackinac a battle in the sectional. He was always really great to work with. So congrats to him on retirement. He had a really good run. I think they won 20 plus games, like in something like 5 of his 7 years into regionals. So congrats to him. We'll miss seeing him around. And then we didn't talk about this, I think, last week, but the Sherrard's Holiday Boys Basketball Tournament has updated its field. They've got two new schools coming in. This was, I think, news last week, but we didn't talk about it. So Peoria, Notre Dame, and Pace and Seymour are now in the Mike Hutchins Holiday Classic. They replace Geneseo and Illinois Math and Science Academy. So really, I mean, if you talk about a 1-8 field, like there aren't very many small school tournaments that have a better field than Sherrard, and it's just in its third year. I mean, you look at Sherrard is in it, who's, you know, had a great run the last 3 years with Coach Johnson. Byron will be a preseason top 10, maybe a preseason top 5 team in 2A next year. Princeton always solid. They've been to the Sweet 16, I think, 4 years in a row. And then you add Peoria Notre Dame, which has, you know, great history too. There's Anawan in there, which, you know, is always a competitor in 1A. East Dubuque is back. And then Alleman and Pace and Seymour. So that's a great 8-team field.
Well, why it's so great and why the coaches got to love it, it's basically 8 unique teams from 8 pockets of the state that don't see one another. And that's what coaches get excited about the most, because a lot of the tournaments, even the elite tournaments, we talk about the you know, that run that have the deep roots, like Macomb Western Holiday Tournament, you're seeing a lot of like area schools that see one another during the regular season.
That's the thing about that tournament that I think in the past couple of years, like it just is like you said, it's a bunch of teams that play each other already, and kind of the top end, there's not really been like, and West Hancock was really good. And like, of course, the run with Rock Ridge the past, you know, 10 or so years where they've kind of just dominated that tournament. There isn't, it's not as like elite as I think it has been in like, you know, years past, where there isn't like the really top end, like state contender. Like next year, West Hancock should be really good. And like, I guess Peoria Christian got to state in 1A this year, but I don't know. It's still a fun tournament, but I think like the elite, competitiveness level of it is kind of come down a little bit, as you know, like the heyday of it when it was like Rock Ridge with Brian Heath and Ethan Happ playing against those Metamora teams. I mean, that was man.
And then Metamora got mad at Coach Say, Coach Whiteman, and Brian Heath, and left the tournament.
And
after
they'll never come back. Yeah, they were crying. Yeah.
And then I was thinking too. You mentioned Scott Weber, a life devoted to basketball in kind of the Monmouth and the Monmouth Roseville School District, because he was long time involved in the youth and junior high programs, and he's such a guy that impacted the game. So I'm glad you mentioned him. Always a good dude, because when I was coaching junior high at Mercer County right after the consolidation, I remember, you know, him coaching. Such a good guy and such a great coach at that level too. And the other thing I wanted to mention too, and I'm glad, you know, when I saw the Sherrard School District announced that Alex Johnson was going to be the high school principal, I defaulted to, you know, basically, oh, that's too bad. You know, I loved him as the high school varsity basketball coach, and I'm so happy that he's still going to be the boys basketball coach, because one of the things that drove me absolutely nuts in the 90s when I first got in this business, there was this thing in education where, oh, man, if you're, you know, a principal or an AD or any type of administrator, oh, you can't be a coach either. And I'm like, well, that to me was always the dumbest argument in sports. And I'm so happy we have the example at Mercer County with Tim Seedam, who was honored as like a IPA principal of the year or whatever, and is the boys varsity basketball coach at Mercer County. And you get the example of Alex Johnson at Sherrard, because I think back in the day there were some of our local schools, we lost some good coaches that wanted to still coach and wanted to be an administrator, but went to another school to get better money or whatever, and the situation, or coach somewhere else because they couldn't be an administrator. So long story short, I'm glad that's something that's gone by the wayside, where you can be a building principal and still coach a sport.
Me too. I'm glad that Coach Johnson's sticking around. He's like the king of Sherrard High School right now. They're going to build a statue of him after the great basketball season, and now he's the principal. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, because I immediately, when they sent the press release out, I texted Mr. Johnson, Carl Johnson, the superintendent, no relation to Alex, and I said, is he still going to be basketball coach? And his simple reply to me was, yes, only unless you want the job. And I'm like, no, I'm going for Fran McCaffrey's job at Iowa.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, I was happy to see that. And then did you tell me that, and I think this is awesome, that, and again, this is why the Sherrard basketball program is so cool, is they're having a public community basketball banquet
on Wednesday.
I think that's so awesome, man.
They're inviting the public. Yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
That is a great idea. That's investing in the community. That's called engagement. Again, right. they're really blowing this thing out of the roof.
They
with
get
the
it.
Things they're doing.
They get
yeah.
it.
Well, yeah.
They get it. Yeah.
I can't think of anything else on the high school sports scene, or
I can't either. We're ready to talk to Coach Dustin Murray about all things softball and area athletics. I can't wait for this talk.
He probably listened to some of the headlines, and great, they're going to ask me about conference affiliation. Right. All right, it is the WRMJ Sports Line from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Toledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your fee will thank you.
Hey, it's the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo, the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. We have Dustin Murray, head softball coach for the Mercer County Golden Eagles, and of course the athletic director for Mercer County High School. You've played 5 games in March? Yeah. No way!
It's awesome. The weather's been up and down, but you know, with the help of our field crew out at the Apollo Diamond and that, we've gotten 5 games in, and you know, it's awesome. And anytime you can play in March is a blessing around here.
So I'm curious, you've been coaching a spring sport, I think, every year at Mercer County since you've been here. You've been here how many years?
This is my 14th year at Mercer County.
Has there ever been an 80-degree day in March where you played a game at?
I really can't think of one, honestly.
That had to be so weird last night.
Yeah, it was hot to the point where I was sweating.
So we've buried the lead, 5-0 for the Eagles. Tell us, and I think there were some high expectations coming in, a lot of talent back from last year's team. Happy with the record? What about play on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had a lot of girls come back from last year. You know, we lost a good group of seniors last year that had been with the program for a lot of them 3 and 4 years. But, you know, we also had a big group come back and, you know, a solid group of seniors and some juniors that we've had. And even our younger kids, you know, if I can shout out the Weeks twins and Jaden Weeks for them with coming in and all that, they've done fantastic. You know, it's great pieces to add in there.
Well, it's interesting, I think, too, when you look at the roster you have, because there's so much experience, it feels like. I know it's kind of a junior-laden group that a lot of them played their freshman year, but even with that, you're still super young, where I think, you know, the day we broadcast, he had, I think, 2 seniors in the starting lineup with, you know, one of them playing the flex spot and not batting. So, I mean, speaking about that kind of mix where you're both, you know, kind of veteran, but still really young too, where a lot of these kids still have a year or 2 or 3 left after this season, just kind of what about that? Because that feels like it's something too, where not just this year, but you should have, I think, a pretty good at least 2-year window here, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and these girls have played a lot of ball, and a lot of them have played travel ball, so they get a ton of experience with that. But just having the knowledge, you know, you look at Nat Thompson, Liv Gillespie, Elsie Cook, girls that have played since their freshman year, they're playing their 3rd year of high school softball, which a lot of the times doesn't happen, you know, and we've got a lot of girls that have just played a lot of ball. And so their development and knowledge of the game, you know, there's high expectations all the time. And I think it is fantastic that we've set the standard that, you know, we're going to be a high quality softball school and we're going to compete every night.
Well, we talked about, you know, the 5-0 start to the season. I think that the biggest win for you, of course, so far was that win. I think last weekend you beat Ridgewood, the defending 1A state champion, in a 9-inning game. And we had Natalie Thompson on the air earlier in the week, and we talked about that game a little bit. And I said to her, probably felt a little bit different than your typical kind of March Saturday game, right? Where you're playing a team that, I think it was their season opener after winning the state championship in Class 1A last year. So just seeing that win, because I know something else we talked about with Natalie too, is it felt like last year, I know Ridgewood was one of those teams you played where a lot of the higher level teams you played, you competed, but ended up maybe losing by a run or two. So to see that one kind of flip the script and get a win on the board, I mean, how big did that feel beating a team in a program like that so early in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can knock off a defending state champion, it's like a notch on your belt. And you know, Coach Leander does a great job over at Ridgewood, and you know, obviously they lost Maya Brown, but they've still got a lot of good pieces in Gabby Dean and that. And you know, people might have thought I was crazy, I intentionally walked her twice to put her on. But you know, a quality win like that. And like you said, it's getting over that hump. We competed with a lot of good teams last year. We just felt like we couldn't finish, you know, and for the girls to battle, we went down, if I remember correctly, we were down 7-2, 7-3, and I was kind of worried about the girls. You know, I almost thought I could see maybe, you know, because it was at a point you can either roll over and die or you can fight back. And I saw the fight in our girls' eyes, and we clawed our way back and were able to tie it up. And then, you know, Liv Gillespie came in and threw really well to keep them off the board. And then we were able to score that last run when Elsie Cook was able to hit that ball up the middle. And just, you know, her progression at the plate this year has been fantastic. She's been a huge bright spot for us in the batter's box. You know, she always does well in the circle and as a team leader, but in the batter's box, she's been fantastic for us this year. And so getting a high quality win like that against a good opponent is always, you know, people start looking around the state when you knock off teams that are ranked, you know, in the ICA rankings. And I look at them, I can't lie, I look at those, but when you can knock off a team that's ranked, it's a notch on your belt.
Yeah. And I look at kind of the schedule you've already played where, you know, kind of a wide array of teams where you mentioned the defending state champs in Ridgewood. Last night you played Rock Island Alleman. So what have you thought of, and then Illini West, you've played them. So, you know, kind of different pockets here of the area. So it's nice to get that opportunity. And I think then you throw in, you know, the conference schedule this year where I know you look at the top with Rock Ridge and Sherrard. Very talented, and I think Riverdale's expecting to have a big year. So you're going to have a really loaded schedule, it looks like, from start to finish. And the kids you mentioned, they're accustomed to playing a lot of those games with their, you know, travel league mm-hmm. schedule and seeing a lot of that top talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also being the athletic director, I'm allowed to create the schedule. And I wanted to create a schedule that was going to be tough for us. And that's no disrespect to the LTC teams. You know, there's a lot of good teams in there, but I wanted us to be tested in and out. You know, I don't want any of those games where, you know, you look at it and go, okay, we're going to, as long as we don't screw this up, we're going to win this one big. You know, I want to compete every night. I want to play high quality teams because it's only going to help us going forward in the postseason. And, you know, getting ready for the conference season, we've got some big hitters in the conference, you know, with Sherrard and Rockridge and Riverdale and Orion and Coach Hippen down at Monmouth Roseville's building down there. You know, I really think that Track West is going to be very good for us schedule-wise to play those quality opponents on a Monday and a Thursday. And then you look at the other side of the conference, on the east side of the conference, there's no slouches over there. Kewaunee, Sterling Newman, you know, EP, Hall, Mendota, they're all quality programs. And again, like I say, it's no disrespect to the LTC, but we're going to play a lot of high quality 2A softball teams that we're going to see in the postseason, you know, our schedule is built intentionally. Brimfield's on the schedule. West Central's on the schedule. You know, we wanted those high quality teams on the schedule, and yeah, being the AD, I got a hand in helping build that.
Yeah. So speaking about, you know, the conference schedule, I think it, you know, you get underway in conference play in a couple of weeks, I think April 7th against Orion. But I think, you know, coming into that, when you look at, like you touched on, the teams you'll be playing, I mean, in my opinion, to me, there are four teams that can probably say realistically, we have a shot to win a conference championship this year, talking about, you know, Mercer County, and then we know the Rock Ridge program. Sherrard, like you said, has a ton of talent. And then maybe a lot of people forget, but Riverdale, you know, last year regional championship team that played for a sectional championship against Rock Ridge down in Peoria. So just speaking about kind of the excitement of, you know, being in a conference race like that, where, like you said, it's a little bit different in the track because it's the local schools you're playing to, where there's this kind of built-in, you know, rivalry, I think, too. So, I mean, just I think those, like you said, should be some really fun afternoons and evenings, you know, as you get in the kind of the conference race part of the schedule.
Absolutely. And, you know, we hope that we can get big crowds out to come watch these games, because there is going to be highly competitive softball every night in the Track West, you know, no matter who you're playing. But, you know, you always circle those games on your calendar, Rock Ridge, you know, Sherrard, especially for us now being able to play them twice and truly saying that, honestly, we think the league's up in the air, you know, and we can go in and compete in that. You know, I joke, Morgan Brott sent me a text coming home from Alleman last night, said hashtag softball school. And so, you know, it's just fun that people are noticing and these girls are attacking and being in this conference, it's going to be fun to compete for a conference title, you know, and you're going to have to bring it night in and night out. Cause I think if you think for a minute that one night is going to, you know, be easy, It's not.
Can I make, so I love the conference affiliation change. I know that. I've been on board with that. But, and Glenn Cook, if he's listening today, agrees with me 100%, 110% on this. Is there ever a way we can go away from playing the conference opponents? So you'll play, you mentioned Monday, Thursday. So, for example, you play Orion Monday at home. You play Orion Thursday on the road of the same week. Mm-hmm. I just wish you, because like for me, let's use basketball as an example this year. Let's say if the conference basketball schedule was the same and Rock Ridge and Sherrard played their two conference games same week in December, boom, over. So do you think there's ever a possible conversation where the conference would go away from that, or is it just something they're set in? And I never really understood the reasoning behind that. So what is the reasoning behind that? And is Dustin Murray, would he favor the Jim Taylor-Glenn Cook change?
I don't know the reasoning behind it. You know, being the new member in the conference, I walk in and they hand us the schedule and say, hey, this is it. But it's definitely something I wouldn't mind talking with the coaches at the all-conference meeting for softball and saying, hey, is there a way that we can do this? And we'll call it the Jim Taylor-Glenn Cook schedule. And, you know, I know Jeff Olson from Princeton's probably ready to throat punch me because he's our scheduling guru, and so it's something that I would love to consider talking with at the all conference meeting, see if there's something we can do where maybe you play, you know, Orion and then Rock Ridge and then set it up kind of in a matrix where you're not seeing that same team twice in a week. You know, baseball, it's different. You're throwing arms, but softball, a lot of the times you ride one pitcher. We do have the ability, you know, we've got two high quality pitchers in Elsie Cook and Liv Gillespie. But, yeah, no, actually, Jim, I'd be wholeheartedly in favor of it, and I think it's something I'll propose.
And not only for softball, but, you know, baseball, too, mm-hmm. is a spring sport, because I think it builds some interest with, hey, we played a 3-2 game in our first meeting April 16th. We're going to play them again May 3rd and see what can happen. I don't know, I think. And then, to me, if you have a top-heavy schedule, you know, then you get some of those key games out of the way and you don't get to play them later in the season.
But, uh-huh. So something I do like about the schedule, though, is I really like that, you know, for example, like speaking of Mercer County Orion play the same day in baseball and softball at the same place. And I like that because, you know, we were talking a little bit before, you know, we started off the air. You were talking how last night at Allaman, you know, the baseball softball complex is kind of right there. We're able to watch kind of both games at once. And a lot of those schools I know in the track, the baseball softball complexes are right next to each other. We're able to do that. And I think that adds to the crowds a little bit too. So that's one thing I do like about the schedule, though, kind of the teams playing the same place against the same team to the two schools.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as much as I love our Apollo Diamond, maybe the city and the park district should look at building us a brand new softball diamond out there. I mean, they built a brand new baseball field. That would be awesome.
Right.
But I do love Apollo Diamond. And, you know, it is something unique. Like last night at Allaman, you know, the baseball field's right there, softball field's right there, and there's people going back and forth, and they're watching both games. And you get people out to the ballpark that, hey, I'll watch baseball game, I'll watch softball game. Oh, maybe the baseball game's not as competitive, I'll go watch softball game. And getting those teams there, I would definitely, looking forward to that. You know, unfortunately for us in our home situation, you know, the Apollo softball diamond's kind of on the south side of town, and the baseball diamond's on the north side of town, and I don't get out to watch a lot of those baseball games. You know, but it is cool because it is a community spirit. It's a community thing, and sometimes spring sports don't always get the love that the fall sports do in that because we play so much. We play at 4:30. People are still at work. You know, it's not that prime time 7 o'clock start, but, you know, I will say this for our fans, that our Mercer County fans travel well.
Well, and I was going to say, and this is a joke, so calm down, everybody. You're a part-time city employee, so you got to side up to the new park district, what do they call him, the park director, Troy Blazer.
Right.
And he's looking for – he wants to do things like that, though.
Absolutely.
I think he would be in favor of that type of, you know, diamond complex to have tournaments and expand youth sports. I think we're all about it. So I want to segue a little bit, and we can come back to softball, too. Is Mike Ebner still the softball coach at Allaman?
No, Blake Humphreys is taking over.
Okay, all right. So it was interesting. Alleman played us. I shouldn't say us. I'm a taxpaying citizen.
You went to Alleman. Yeah. You mean us by Alleman.
Yeah, no, I should. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I'm a parent of kids that are a fine graduate of Ty Taylor from Mirko, yeah, and then Tess. But then Tegan.
Don't forget Tegan. Yeah, she's still in third hour Algebra 1.
So I'm speaking on behalf of a parent of a current Mercer County School District student, and I was at an Alleman Mercer County basketball game this year, and I think it was late in the season. And I was talking to Mike Ebner, longtime softball coach and a longtime assistant basketball coach. He was with Jay Hatch, and he's with the current staff at Alleman now. And I said, what's the future for the Pioneers, you know, with their conference affiliation? And I said, do you want to, you know, stay in the Big Six? And he's like, he said, nah. He says, we want to be here. Mm-hmm. Any conversation, or can you say anything? I mean, I'm assuming they're probably still somewhat interested, but are there any conversations with the future of the conference, or is that kind of behind the scenes type of stuff?
I honestly, being the new member, like last year I went to the Three Rivers conference meetings, but I was kind of the little kid that sat in the corner just because I wasn't there, but I was there, you know. And this year I'm still kind of new, learning everything. You know, right now I think the conference is in a solid spot. You know, I don't know of any teams looking. You know, everybody jokes every meeting, hey, everybody good, everybody staying. But if things ever happened, you know, maybe it would be something to look at. And I know everybody worries about, okay, if we do allow Alleman in, do they build back to be the Alleman of old, you know, where they were having those teams that, you know, they were a dynasty in softball back when I think John Nelson was an assistant there.
Mm-hmm. Even before that.
Even before then, you know, and in football, obviously, it wasn't so recently, 2012, when we played down state title game, they played in the 4A game, mm-hmm, behind us, you know, and we've had some good basketball games with them, and obviously they're still a high-quality girls basketball program and a soccer program. It would be something I'd listen to. You know, I'd sit in those conference meetings and listen because obviously they fit as a geographical fit. Now, you know, if you add one, do you need to add another? So who do you add? You know, it's kind of one of those things. Or if you subtract one, where do they fit in geographically? You know, it'd be one of those things. I think just when those conversations happen, and who knows, maybe they're happy with their Big Six, but I doubt it.
Right. And just speaking too about, you know, the conference, like you touched on, Mercer County, really the first school year where you've been a member of the track, kind of winding down now as we get, mm-hmm, into the spring sports season. So just as the AD, I mean, what's your, I guess, takeaway of, you know, just kind of the first year of seeing Mercer County in this new league?
I think it's a good fit for us, you know, and I know there was some hesitation, you know, from coaches and that when, you know, the whole thing came down and that, but I think now that we did it and we full-fledged in it, I think it's a great fit for us. We, you know, enrollment-wise, we fit in geographic-wise. It's nice, like you talk about it, it's nice to play those geographical rivals again. You know, I think back to the County Line Clash, yeah, in football. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Heck, when we hosted Sherrard in that football game, that was a lot of fun to watch Mercer County Sherrard play a high school football, yeah, game again. You know, and it's just the kids know each other. You know, they know each other. They love playing and competing against each other. You know, it's been good. And heck, you know, it was awesome that night. The basketball team knocked off Rock Ridge, yeah, you know, and that was, I think you would agree, that was an awesome night. We, mm-hmm, had a lot of people there for Hall of Fame night, and it just was cool. Athletically, on the AD side, my gate fees have gone up.
Oh,
I've seen attendance get a whole lot better because, and again, I'm going to say this, I still got a lot of friends in the LTC, but we get a lot more people for a Mercer County Sherrard girls basketball game than we did for a Mercer County Stark girls basketball, right, game. You know, and a lot of people weren't making that trip, you know, but now you get the casual fan. I've noticed we've got some casual fans that, hey, we just want to come watch the local teams play, you know, and people travel better when we're in those locations.
And I love, too, those Friday night conference basketball games. It just felt like the boys basketball conference season this year was just like three great games every night, mm-hmm, in the conference season with all six teams playing each other. And I thought, you know, no matter where I was, whether it was, you know, Mercer County versus Sherrard or Orion versus Rock Ridge, just crowds were awesome all year long in boys basketball, especially.
Absolutely. You know, you just saw that. You saw even in girls basketball where crowds typically aren't as big as the boys. I think we had a lot of ones. Oops. I think we had a lot of, you know, good crowds like that. And actually, I've got, just changed it today, we've got a girls basketball game lined up for a Friday night next year.
Oh, awesome.
Kind of give the girls the experience of a Friday night home game, you know, against Monmouth Roseville. So that'd be a lot of fun. But it's been a great experience for us being in the Three Rivers Conference. I am very happy with this move, not only as the softball coach, but also as the athletic director.
And it's funny you bring up the girls game on a Friday night. I know back in the day there were several situations, these were back in the Olympic Conference days, where they would have not a lot, but there'd be certain weekends where they do a boys girls doubleheader, varsity doubleheader, where they tip the girls game off at 6, the boys game at 7:30. I always thought maybe that's something to look at potentially doing again, just and I look at maybe, so you talk about the county line clash, and I think it would be neat if maybe you could get one of those Rock Ridge, Mercer County situations where it's a girls boys doubleheader, or a Mirko Sherrard boys girls doubleheader on maybe a Saturday instead of a Friday, and see what would be the end result there.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. We do, you know, we've done, like we did a game with Rock Falls this year where we did a, you know, JV girls game, varsity girls game, JV boys game, varsity boys game, and that was a lot of fun. But that would be cool to look at. You know, I think, is it the MAC in Iowa that does, like, boys and girls doubleheaders?
Yes.
But obviously they have multiple gyms. Right. You know, if we had multiple gyms, it'd be great. We could play, you know, JV in an auxiliary gym and varsity in the main gym. And we could even do that on a Friday night. That'd be cool. But, you know, we obviously don't have those facilities to have a second gym in. But no, that'd be something. Anything we can do to get fans excited, I think, is a positive thing that we can do for the kids. You know, getting people there, getting people to support these kids is awesome.
And then just another like AD thing at Mercer County. I know the shot clock obviously coming in basketball, and not this coming school year, but the following 2026-27 season. So just kind of the, I guess, you know, what's the process for that look like, and, you know, getting them and then getting them installed? Because a few schools have them installed this year, but I think most like smaller schools don't have them in yet. So just what does that process look like at Mercer County?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Back when this talk started 2-3 years ago, Coach Hofer actually bought shot clocks. So we have shot clocks, and I'm working with a company to get ours installed. We're hoping to have them by next season. I'm hoping by the end of the summer he'll have them installed to where we start looking at some non-conference games, you know, looking to use the shot clock. I know, you know, the conference has talked about, do we put it in early, do we not? You know, things of that, and no decision's been made on that, but I'm definitely, we have our shot clocks, they're in our storage room. You know, we're going to hope to get them in and start teaching people how to run a shot clock. Thankfully it's a 35 second reset each time. Otherwise I'm going to end up having to run the shot clock at every
Brock
game.
Gainer was doing it at Rock Ridge.
I know Abingdon, Dave Hasley retired from officiating basketball. I think Abingdon's going to hire him each time.
He's the special assistant.
The consultant. He's the consultant.
They outbid us for him to be our rules analyst.
Oh, boy.
Well, so you know the first game they utilized a shot clock, A-Town? It was the Mercer County A-Town JV girls game.
Was it really?
Yeah, because I was there. Because I'm like, what's Dave Hasley, Jeff Later, and there was some other big shot down there. What are you guys doing here for the Mirko A-Town JV game? Hey, we were putting the shot clock in tonight. We're going to use it.
How many shot clock violations?
Yeah, now
were
why
there?
You would
there
do was JV one. Girls there was basketball one. Yeah, with a shot clock? Anyway, sorry.
Tell
you
Brian. Might... tell Coach Brian Fearman to get the shot. Get his offense
get
ready.
Into
to
the
go.
Offense.
Get into his offense and get it ready to go. I honestly think the shot clock will be good for the game.
Yeah.
You know, everybody looks and points to that Eastland Pecatonica game, you know, kind of as the earmark for it. But yeah, I think it'll affect some games, but there's other things I don't think it'll affect. You know, I think teams will run their offense and maybe instead of running sets 2 and 3 times, maybe they only run a set once and get a good look. You know, I think it's going to be a positive thing. I don't know what it looks like JV wise, if we're going to utilize it JV in the conference or not yet, but you know, at least get them up and get the kids practicing with it and learning what the shot clock is. We played with the shot clock down at the Macomb Holiday Tournament this year, you know, so that was good to use. And hopefully we'll get them up, get them installed, and I'd like to see us use them in some non-conference games next year for sure.
So I was thinking, too, about the conference. So is it one for the track? It's one gigantic big track meet?
Yes.
So for the boys and girls, it's like one huge conference track meet for all schools.
for track.
Yeah.
Yes. They split. Boys have their own separate and girls have their own separate.
So I think that's awesome because that's like to think of all those schools coming together. And I was thinking, too, even if it could possibly be done, if there could be a conference wrestling meet and not a duel, but an individual conference wrestling meet where you crown an individual champion.
So we talked about that with Steve Amy.
Yeah,
right?
In each weight class.
So it's funny you talk about that because the wrestling coaches, you know, you go to the all-conference meeting and then the ADs get a report back from the all-conference meeting. And there's talk about it, you know, wanting to create a Three Rivers Conference wrestling meet. Problem with wrestling is everybody's got their set dates.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and now the state wrestling meet for the boys moves up a week next year, you know, with the addition of the girls series.
Oh, it moves up a week?
Yeah, the boys regional actually moves up a week next year.
Would that be the last weekend of January, or when would that be?
It'll be, it might be, because I know... Oh, yeah, it might be last weekend in January, first weekend in February, whatever that date is. That's the boys' regional, but then the girls' regionals the next weekend, and boys' and girls' sectionals then are the following weekend. So the boys actually have a week break. You know, normally boys wrestle regionals, and then the next week's sectionals, they'll have a week in between there.
No kidding.
With the boys' and girls' state series, because the girls' state series is growing, you know, and the excitement in that is growing. And so we've kind of got to adjust our schedule to move things up. You know, we've got, because in the Three Rivers for wrestling right now, you wrestle everybody, and there's no set conference schedule. It's like, hey, when do you want to wrestle? Hey, and last year I just started emailing the ADs, hey, when can we tag on and when can we do this? You know, so that's an interesting thing, but it would be cool. I think, you know, they've talked about a dual team tournament for the Three Rivers. You know, I kind of like the idea of an individual wrestling tournament because then you don't have to have an all-conference meeting. Okay, your first team all-conference, your second team all-conference, your honorable mention, your third place.
And I think that would generate a lot of interest.
A bunch of interest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people would, because there's a lot of schools in the track, and Mercer County is included, of course, that have really rich wrestling history, I think.
And that was one of the awesome things about us getting into the track is we could get our wrestlers a conference so they can compete for a conference title. We can have all-conference wrestlers. We had, I'm thinking off my head, three all-conference wrestlers this year, and Eli Burns, Bodie Salmon, and I can never pronounce his first name right. I just call him Little X Ocampo.
Campo, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, they were all conference this year, and our wrestlers haven't had an all conference, you know, for a long time. But I do think the idea of an individual wrestling tournament would be awesome. But it's so hard in wrestling because everybody's got their set dates. You know, Orion's got the Orion tournament. You know, EP's got their tournament. Riverdale's got their tournament. You know, and so obviously, unfortunately, Mercer County, we wouldn't have probably the facilities to be able to host that big of a meet. And maybe do you do it somewhere in the middle, like Erie Prophetstown, who both have beautiful facilities that they could do it in.
Okay, so one other thing too, and we talked about this a lot last week and the week before when we were down in Champaign. Now the IHSA over the past couple of weeks has kind of rolled out this new classification enrollment, you know, process where, you know, starting next year, there's the fixed cutoffs for the four class sports. At 300 and below is 1A, and then the multiplier waiver process is different now for private schools as well. With football, it being, you know, one playoff win over 3 years, you can't get the waiver if you're a private school. And then I think over a rolling 3 year period in the four class sports, it's a sectional semifinal win. So that's, you know, boys and girls basketball, baseball, softball. You can't get the waiver. So just, I mean, your reaction as a public school athletic director to the changes that were made, because I know, of course, it was really loud in the fall with how the football state championship games went, that the system is broken a little bit. So with, you know, the changes that have been announced, just kind of your reaction to them a week or so later.
Yeah, I think they're positive changes. You know, I think the IHSA recognized that there was something broken and working to fix it. And actually Chris Schwarz and I went to college together. We played baseball together at Monmouth College. We used to call him the body.
Everybody goes to Monmouth.
We used to call Schwarz the body because he looked like Vin Diesel.
He was a Sportsline guest a couple weeks ago.
You know, I text him after the football season after that, because now he's with the IHSA. And I said, well, how much have you heard? And he goes, man, it doesn't stop. and so I think it's a step in the right direction that we can look at correcting it. Because obviously you look at maybe the postseason was a little messed up with some of those things. And, you know, I think everybody just super hyper focuses on the Alleman 1A football. Yeah, I think that's definitely something that people looked at because, wow. And so, you know, and I think Brad Dixon said
You mean Altoff.
Altoff. What did I say? Allman. Yeah.
But if Allman qualifies next year, they would be a 1A.
Wouldn't they be a 1A team? So here, Allman's playing, you know, they're going to
Princeville.
They're going to Princeville on a Saturday to play a football
Quincy
game.
In week 9 or whatever, yeah. Ooh,
that'd be a big time difference. But no, I think it's a good step for the IHSA. You know, obviously we're going to be a solid 2A school no matter where we're at, I think. You know, the track numbers look a little different. Part of me wonders where Sherrard falls in track. I haven't looked at that. I'll be honest with you. I was listening to Sportsline from last week in my headphones as I was dragging the softball diamond because God, I miss him. I miss Terry Bewley to death.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And
we all do.
Yeah, I do too.
But definitely now as I'm dragging the softball diamond and I got people helping me out there. But, you know, I think like track, is Sherrard going to make that cut down to the 1A line?
So looking at the numbers, the 1A, 2A line, because track is a three-class sport, was 450 is and below is 1A. And there on the IHSA website, their enrollment is exactly 450. So it looks like they'll be the biggest or one of the biggest 1A next year, because I think they're the third smallest 2A this year. So I think it looks like next year they'll be back 1A in track and field. And of course on the girls side, they've had a really, really solid run. Yeah. But with that, you know, to the 1 year classification enrollment cycle, you'll see more, I think, juggling from year to year now too, where before it was the two. So that too, I think, is kind of a universally positive change. Absolutely. I think people are excited about that too.
Absolutely. You know, and cause it can change so frequently in a year, and you look on the 6 day enrollment and what it is. And I think ours is actually a little high for next year. I think we're at 411, if I remember correctly, when I submitted those numbers. But, you know, I think it'll be a good thing that it'll change each year. You know, it won't be one of those things. But some of those numbers coming down, you know, you look at a program like Orion, Bureau Valley, that were 2A staples are now going to move down to 1A.
Knoxville, too.
In Knoxville, too. But I think of the Orion, just because I watched them a bunch this year, the Orion basketball team, that there's a lot of pieces coming back for that basketball team. I think Coach Anderson, you know, they can set themselves up if they stay healthy to make a pretty good run in that 1A.
And volleyball for them too. Yeah. I mean, drop into 1A.
Yeah, Coach Adams, you know, obviously I know her from knowing her husband super well. You know, their Orion volleyball is a powerhouse, and they have been for years.
You know, one of my and I'll let you get to whatever
you're
saying.
No, I want to hear this.
But one of my favorite memories from the football season it was when Mercer County and Sherrard played, because that was the John Hoshite broadcast. So I was doing our sideline reports that day. And, like, the whole second half, I was standing by Coach Murray, and Coach Brian Adams was over there, too, from Sherrard. It was just absolute comedy central for the
There were probably some stories back from 2012, 2013, you know, when he busted his lip wide open in 2012 and I had to drive him to the hospital. He's bleeding everywhere because he got hit by a helmet by one of the Snyder brothers as he was running the scout team quarterback gig.
Coach Adams did?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Oh, and we used to joke with Zunkle about, Zunkle always used to joke about, you're fired, you know, and blah, blah. And BA's like, hey, you're fired this week.
But getting back to me in talking to Ty about this, who's done a good job of covering the story, to me, there's the criteria, but even if that non-boundary school meets the criteria to get the waiver, they still have to apply for it, right, Ty? To me, is going to be the interesting story, because if Allman would make the playoffs next year in football, right, they'd have to apply for the waiver. And the IHSA said, no, we're not going to let you play 1A football.
So the process is, and we talked about this last week too, it's a case-by-case where they review it, but they take the school name off of it, where they look at all the other, you know, whatever criteria there is with the school and kind of the context of it, but you don't get to see the name. It's just basically a blind vote from, I think, their administrative staff on whether that school gets the waiver. I think Allman, in whatever sport they apply for, it will get it because of their lack of success recently.
I don't know, but their schedule they play with the enrollment. I'm interested to see, because to me, I just don't think many. I'm curious to see what the percentage is after the first couple of years of who gets the waiver. Because if they do get the waiver and they win, we know what happens. Oh, yeah, the wheels.
But if they win, then it's gone for
three years.
Well,
yeah, but still. But it's the anger is the existing season and not the next season. But I guess long story short, you know, talking to you, you think this is the kind of best way to look at it?
I think for right now, and maybe somebody else has a better solution. I did, you know, maybe do you go back to the average enrollment of playing your football schools? You know,
where, I've always liked that.
You know, that was forever. That was a big one where you take the opponents on your schedule and you, what was it? You drop the highest and the lowest and you average the rest. I think it was. That worked for a long time. And then we started changing things because people started whining about not having success in that. And so maybe it's a start, and maybe we realize in 2 years it's a complete failure, and maybe that school gets a waiver, and the next thing you know, we're crowning Alleman as a 1A football champion.
Yeah.
Which would, you know, and it's no disrespect to Coach Schmalbach up there.
Love Coach Schmalbach. He's a great guy.
But you know, they still have to get 5 wins to qualify, right. And that Western Big Six is a league, man. Yeah. You know, Quincy's been a hoss. Moline, Moline is Moline,
right.
You know, UT, Coach Welch does a great job there with those guys.
Well, and that, but here's my thing about the whole non-boundary school debate. For me, you know, I don't like the resistance in conference affiliation with public schools sometimes saying, hey, nope, we don't want you in our league. And to me, you know, I'm a graduate of Alleman, and I was there when enrollment was 900 kids. And they could compete with Western Big Six opposition night in and night out. They're never going to be at that level. They're going to be like every other track school where they're going to be good in some sports, average in others, and not so good in others. And just like everybody else right now, because that's kind of their student body. They just don't have a lot of kids. And I would like them in the league because they travel well, they bring fans, they like mixing it up with the Rockets and the Tigers and the Eagles. They've always been a good fit,
absolutely,
I think, for this league. So if there is ever room for expansion, I would want them, and I would want the Macomb High Bombers in this league because I think they're a perfect fit too. But, you know, we can talk about that some other time. But I know those type of schools in terms of wanting in. That's why I feel the track's always in a good place because – you know, most of the schools in the area that aren't in the track, they want to get in the track and be part of it.
So, anything else you want to ask Coach Marie about? I don't have much else. I think we covered a lot with him.
Yeah,
right?
So nothing changes with the football schedule next year other than it's the same order, but for example, the game against Sherrard this year was at home, so next year it'll be on the road. Basically, same order, right?
Yep, we'll be at Sherrard next year, same order. We are choosing Rova Williamsfield and us are not going to play a week zero scrimmage, you know, so we're going to have our Meet the Eagles night and go from there. But we do have to go to Newman on a Saturday.
Oh,
we're playing Newman on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock there at Roscoe Eads Field.
And they'll have Chicken George in the press
I'll
box.
Be ready for that.
I was going to say, Justin Stevenson, you better have, you know, the AD suite ready to roll for that.
So, okay, Saturday, that feels like that's more classic Newman playing on Saturday.
That's what week we play them? What was that?
Six. What was that week?
Week six,
right?
So it's an afternoon game then?
Yeah, it'll be a 1 o'clock afternoon game. But, no, the schedule flops, and, you know, obviously, you know, looking forward to Coach Lucas and the Golden Eagles and what we can do in the fall. You know, I think Coach Lucas is he's already rallying the troops in the school, getting the kids going. I know he had a junior high visit today to get some enrollment with the, you know, excitement with the junior high. And I'm excited for the direction of the program that Coach Lucas has already been doing and going forward. So.
And then just last thing for you, one more thing about football. We talked about, you know, that game with Rockridge last year, the great crowd over there.
Yeah.
I remember, I forget the exact numbers, but their booster club gave me the numbers they got in terms of merchandise sales and like concession sales. And it was off the charts over there. And so to get a host that football game this year, I know the last time, of course, that Rockridge and Mercer County played in Aledo, maybe the greatest game ever played on that field, right? Double overtime,
second
round.
Right. Chip Filler would say the greatest game played on that game he didn't coach.
So, but anyway, back to that. I mean, that's, I think, probably the highlight of like the athletic calendar next year, at least going in, is just getting to host that game for the first time.
That game will be fun for the County Line Clash to be in Aledo. You know, because I think anyone that has watched small school football at Mercer County High School at that stadium knows that that place on a Friday night is awesome. It's one of the best venues, in my opinion, to watch. you know, and heck, it's really awesome on a Saturday afternoon too. Yeah, you know, that place can rock, and you know, so looking forward to that, really excited, you know, and hopefully we can compete for the County Line Clash Trophy, and then I don't have to listen to Rock Ridge complain about their helmets cracked on the on the trophy. So
getting back to softball, so I know the conference, you mentioned the opponents, and you've put together a great non-conference. Are we playing West Central? I should say.
He said yes.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Actually, Good Friday.
Okay.
Good Friday, we go down to Stan Fisher Field and play West Central. Ooh. Coach Dylan Voiles will be down there, and he's got a
See you in Stronghurst.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a great program down there. And I think one year, did you try to come? I think you tried to broadcast a softball game down there, and we had to use Gary Unsworth's old phone because it was the only one that worked down there.
Yeah. So we are going to try to do a game from Stronghurst this week. Actually, Sherrard plays there on Thursday.
And Jason Kirby said he's going to string an extension cord out and bring a table, and then he's probably going to fillet some fish.
I know their superintendent. She can spend some money.
Oh, that's right.
Can spend some money. Tell her to start putting down a little bit.
Awesome. Yeah, talking about Stacy Day of course, and her great days at Mercer County High School.
My high school principal.
Well, and of course, a former Westmer teacher, too.
And you got to think, I had Stacy Day. She was my cooperating teacher when I student taught here.
Wow.
Then I worked with her in the math department. Then she was the principal, you know, and then now, you know, she's, as I finished my admin degree, you know, she kind of text counseled me from the side about things to do. So she's been a fantastic role model for my educational career.
Yeah, she's great.
I owe a lot to her.
Oh, one other thing. One of my favorite stories about you. So you were running the scoreboard at a basketball game.
This is my crackback block against Moline there. Or no, McComb.
Is that what it was?
When I had to intercept that dad that was going after the official. I think I climbed over the scorer's table.
Because I did play-by-play of that event that night. There goes Murray.
I'll bet you in the WRMJ studios, because I don't delete emails, I think you sent me that. I probably have that still in my email.
That's awesome.
I have 30,000 emails in my inbox. Yeah, me
too. Now, the other great thing about you, I remember, you went to Lyle.
Yes.
He was at Lyle. And he, in my opinion, the greatest name in high school football ever.
Nick
played,
Nasty.
Yep, played Nick for Nasty. The Plano Reapers, and his name was Nick Nasty, and he was every bit the name.
He was. We played them week one of the year. You know, they were in our conference. We played them week one. We lost 40-0, and then we drew them in the first round of the playoffs and had them on the ropes and ended up losing like 31-14, and they ended up going to a state title, and he was every bit of his name. They were... He was freaking nasty. He was a freak of nature.
He was nasty.
He was nasty.
I wonder what he's doing now. Do you know?
I have no idea. I haven't kept track of him.
Didn't Alito play them? Because when I was a kid, I remember hearing that.
They played them a couple years later in the playoffs when Coach Walter was here. Yeah.
Probably, were they Alito Westmer then?
And the Eagles won that day, I think.
Green Dragons at the time. Yeah.
Actually, another cool story about Alito Westmer and Lyle was in 2008, I believe. Lyle came out to play Alito Westmer in a football game. I was at Monmouth College. My dad came down to get me because my little brother was on the sidelines. And there's the Tom Harlan videos of the guys coming down the field, and there's a big video of Brian Dennison clapping, cheering the guys on.
Wow.
And if you pan in the background, you can see me and my dad standing on the visitor's side. And it was really neat. I talked with my dad years about it afterwards because my parents followed us huge. You know, they still follow Golden Eagle Sports. My mom texts me after the game, "Hey, good win for the Eagles." You know, and my dad listens to WRMJ on Friday nights,
awesome.
You know, back from Lyle. So you always got a listener.
He's the only one.
You always got one. But we could see myself in the background, and it was awesome. And you see the experience and walking down the hill and the tradition, and it was really cool now to be on that side of it. So
this is how we'll wrap it up. So we're winding down Mercer County's first full school year in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. We'll go around. We'll grade the move. I go A+. Ty, what do you go?
A+.
I'm going solid A.
Okay.
I'm going solid A. I don't know. I don't give a lot of A+s out. I'm not
fair.
A big extra credit
That's
guy.
That's fair. You're a teacher. No.
All right, because he's going to get the softball and baseball schedule switched. He's going to get the Three Rivers Conference Wrestling Tournament. So
we're
we got all that.
On this
we
together.
Got yeah. All right.
All right, good to see Dustin Murray. Who's on the schedule next week for softball?
I got four games. Got a home game Monday against Farmington. Home game Tuesday, you're putting me on the spot. Home game Tuesday against West Hancock. Thursday, I'm racking. Thursday's Anawan Weathersfield at home, and then Friday is our conference crossover opener in the Three Rivers Conference, the Princeton Tigers.
Ooh, and Keeley Lawson, that'll be it. They're pretty good.
The Princeton Tigers come to town.
Well, get out. got a good team here, 5-0, and if you can get over to the Apollo Diamond, see these youngsters, sounds like going to be an exciting season. It playing a quality schedule, and softball in this area is very good. So good to see you come in this morning. Appreciate it. Nice going, beating the alma mater, my alma mater last night. Always want to beat the parochial schools. But nice going. Keep up the good work, Coach, and we'll see you down the road.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for all your coverage.
Thanks, Coach.
More coming up on the WRMJ Sports Line.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your fee will thank you.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Spring sports underway, and Mother Nature has cooperated some thus far. And Jim, today you sent me a piece that is talking about some potential legislation that will impact high school athletes and the sports that they play. That seems kind of interesting and a great jumping off point here.
Yeah, I know, as each year goes on, it seems like there are more and more pieces of legislation that are introduced in Springfield that deal with high school sports. Now, this bill was filed, I think, earlier this month, and they call it the Right to Play Bill, and it's in committee, and basically it kind of would give kids the opportunity to play a club sport at the same time as the high school sport. For example, club volleyball and high school volleyball at the same time, and maybe high school softball and ASA softball at the same time. Now, I look at this piece of legislation, and one thing that I see happening right now, and maybe you can attest to this in your area, where a kid could be playing basketball right now, girls basketball, for example, but still be playing club volleyball. Now, they're different sports, but I know there have been some instances where kids have left the high school basketball season because they're playing at a weekend club volleyball tournament. I think eventually, now I'm not going to say I'm for this, but I think eventually, you know, there's going to be some more leeway because these high school coaches, I think, are at a disadvantage in terms of, well, do I want numbers? And if I want numbers, maybe I have to give this kid a little leeway, let them play whatever sport they want to play, club sport, but still allow them to play on the high school team. Again, I'm not a high school coach. I know that's a tough decision, but I just think, Brian, there is this issue of club sports impeding into interscholastic athletics. You know, the genie's kind of out of the bottle.
I don't know if there's a path forward with this type of legislation where kids would be able to play club volleyball and high school volleyball at the same time. But I think eventually, you know, I'm not going to rule it out. I think eventually that's going to be a possibility. And I think that's a tough decision for the IHSA. I think that's a tough decision for the schools. And I think it's, you know, probably going to be a tough decision for some of the student athletes out there too. A lot in play here, I guess, as we follow this issue.
Right. And I think a lot of it falls to the coaches as well, because, you know, the article mentioned it may create some friction among coaches. And the other thing is decision-making. Are you in a situation where you award playing time to those who aren't playing the other sports? And if somebody misses a tournament for one of the other sports or a non-sanctioned sport, you know, are you going to be able to punish them? Or I shouldn't say punish them, but maybe reward somebody else with playing time. I think it creates a mess of its own. And my big feeling is, don't the legislature members there in Springfield, don't they have enough to worry about to kind of jump into the high school arena? But I know that's kind of pro IHSA side of things. And maybe they feel like a state law would kind of push them in the right direction, and they don't agree with what the IHSA is doing.
Yeah, and I think probably in defense of the state lawmaker that introduced the piece of legislation, they're probably acting on behest of somebody that brought this to their attention, saying, hey, I want my kid to be able to do both. I want exposure. And I think that's probably the big thing, right, with, you know, these club sports, whether it's AAU basketball or volleyball or ASA softball or USSSA softball, it's exposure, right? And it seems like, you know, back in the day when you looked at the 70s and 80s or whatever, and probably even the early to mid 90s, mainly the exposure occurred at interscholastic athletics, right? You know, high school sports. But now the exposure is at the club level tournaments. And I think that's why you're seeing a push like this, right? I mean, it's about recruiting and exposure. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if it is legislation. Again, that's what I think it boils down to. Parents want their student athlete to have more exposure. And I think the more exposure comes through the club sports, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's a conversation we could expound upon another day and talk for hours about, you know, club sports and AAU and the big market that it covers. And it seems to be kind of a high stakes thing. And now suddenly they're trying to push in on the high school level. And I tend to agree with the guy who said, you know, basically he worries about the health and safety of the athlete. And I'm not saying the parents aren't worried about that, but sometimes they kind of get that, you know, starry look, and they say, hey, they're going to get a scholarship and they're going to end up in the NBA or the WNBA. And we all know that that only happens to a very select few, and you could, you know, damage them at a time that they don't need to be damaged, you know, growing and with overexertion and, you know, just playing too much of one sport. I don't know. I'm no expert on that, and maybe I'm out in left field, but I just feel like those were the rules, and they worked for a lot of years.
Yeah, and I guess this is just an issue that we're going to continue to see moving forward, because there's just been so much talk about what the answer is in terms of how does, you know, interscholastic athletics, how does it mesh with club sports? And again, I don't know what the answer is. There has to be a little wiggle room on both, but man, I just, you know, if you're talking about playing a club sport at the same time as your high school sport, man, that would be interesting to see. But that's an issue being debated in Springfield right now. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi. I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Looking for the perfect fit? 6140 Run in downtown Galesburg has you covered. From top brands like Hoka, Brooks, Saucony, Diadora, Wolverine, Red Wing, and more, we have the ideal shoes for running, walking, or everyday comfort. Right now, enjoy special savings on Birkenstock footwear. Don't miss out on this limited time offer to step into comfort and style. Visit 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street, downtown Galesburg. Your fee will thank you.
All right, Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning winding down. Man, Dustin Murray was a great guest today.
He was awesome.
Covered a lot of ground, and he mentioned the greatest high school football player's name in Illinois history, the legendary Nick Nasty from the Plano. Reapers.
The Plano Reapers. That's such a great nickname, too. The Reapers, that's great.
And it flows just perfectly. And having a kid with that name playing on that team is so awesome. But I'd like to see what that kid is doing nowadays, because he was a tremendous high school football player from back in the day. So feel good about, you know, Mercer County's situation as it relates to the conference, the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, and where we're at. And, you know, I think Coach Murray hit on it. You know, there were some bright spots for this, and they're still going, the school year's not over, but there have been some bright spots, I think, in the league already. And I think there's some opportunity, you know, with the path forward moving into the next school year. But, you know, it's going to be exciting with, you know, the conference track meet this spring with the Golden Eagles participating in that. And I just think, you know, some real excitement with where we're at there. And then following the softball program off to a 5-0 start and some key games, you know, coming up in the league with the Rockets and the Tigers and Riverdale going to be pretty good. So that there'll be some fun games to follow.
Yeah, that first week of conference games, April 7th and April 10th, Sherrard and Rock Ridge play in both baseball and softball both days. And I think, you know, the track meets, the conference track and field meets in the Three Rivers this year. I think the boys one is at Sherrard. And the girls' one is at Monmouth Roseville, I think, this year. So,
all right.
I think. I could be wrong on that, though.
Yeah, and I think Monmouth Roseville just got the new resurfaced track, I think, maybe this school year or last year. But
I know.
It's a fairly new facility. So, yeah.
The thing that was funny about, like, the Lincoln Trail Conference track meet is it felt like it was at Weathersfield every year. Because they were, like, the only school in the conference that had a all-purpose track for, like, ever. And I think Mercer County finally got one. But I don't know how many other schools in the LTC even have the track that you can host it on.
All right. So, looking at the programming schedule, we have Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon with the Minnesota Twins, right? Like a 12:35 or something like that?
12:20.
12:20 broadcast, and the Cardinals won on opening day. It was a long day, rain delay. I always like the one thing I like about the Cardinal radio network that I think is awesome is when is the rain delays, because they get into the archive and they play the old interviews, and I still say that's why they're the premier radio network in baseball, well, because of great affiliates, of course, like WRMJ, longtime affiliate. And I think the first year the station carried the Cubs, though, I believe in 1970.
I think John told that story with us last year. Yeah.
So, all right. And then our next local broadcast is next Thursday. Right? Good, it should be a good game. Hopefully,
Sherrard
the weather cooperates.
At West Central softball. Friday, we have Rock Ridge at Ridgewood softball. Two teams that Friday game that, of course, were down at state. Rock Ridge took third last year in 2A. Ridgewood, the defending 1A state champs. And then Sherrard off to a great start. They're 4-0 Thursday, playing at West Central in softball. The Heat are preseason number one in 1A. And then the following week, April 7th, we'll have Sherrard and Rock Ridge. I believe we'll do the softball game Monday and the baseball game Thursday of that week. So that's kind of going to be the way we do it now with the new track affiliation is we'll have the one of the games of the series. We'll have, like, for example, the baseball game on between Mercer County and Rock Ridge when they play Monday, for example. And then Thursday we'll have the softball game on or vice versa, depending on, you know, normally if there's like a Cardinals game we got to get to that night, we'll do the softball game that day because they traditionally go a little bit faster than the baseball game.
So in the preseason Illinois Coaches Association rankings for softball, where was Rock Ridge at?
Four.
And then did Sherrard get any?
They received votes, but were not in. And it's a top 20 they do. So they were not in. They'll probably be, I think, in the next one whenever it comes out.
Maybe the Eagles.
And Mercer County's got a chance. I think though what'll hurt them is like Ridgewood. They got beat by Fulton too, so that win doesn't look quite as impressive. Because like, and then Fulton, they played Sherrard and got beat 18-2 by Sherrard. So, and it's, you know, one game sample size early in softball. What can you really take away from it? But again, I mean, Mercer County has a chance. I think Sherrard probably will be in the rankings though next week.
Well,
or the next time they do them.
And the gap has closed between Rock Ridge, which was always way up high, and then
everybody else.
Yeah, and now it's a little bit different. Still, I still say they're the team to beat because pedigree means everything.
They are until they aren't. That's I thought that in the boys basketball season two, and Sherrard proved that wasn't the case this year, and they got to try to do that in softball too. Because again, while Rock Ridge isn't like a heavy favorite to go undefeated and win a state championship again, I mean, I think there still is something to be said where none of these teams around here have beat them in a long, long, long time. And that, I think, means something. So something they got to do. And then just for you, last week we were still an Illini affiliate for the season. That's done after Illinois got beat on Sunday by Kentucky. What's your takeaway from the 2024-25 Fighting Illini men's basketball season? I can't believe Merez Johnson's transferring. That feels like a pretty big loss.
Well, and then the one thing that stung a little bit is to see how – and now I know – Kentucky made it a little bit respectable last night, but I was seeing I didn't watch the game, but I was watching the other game, and they were down big.
Yeah.
I think they ended up losing by 14 or 16, but they were getting rolled. So that's always concerning when the team you lose to then gets destroyed in the next round. So yeah, and I think this transfer portal is still shaking its way out with, you mentioned, Merez Johnson leaving, and you know what the status of KJ, if he's going into
he's gone. There's not a chance he'll be back.
And, you know, but I think that, and this is for me too, because I know social media, everybody's, they hate the portal. And for me, I'm like, if you're an Illini fan, how can you say you hate the portal? Because the portal has saved the University of Illinois with their two coaches know how to play the portal, and you've seen the immediate turnaround with the football program with Coach Bielema and the talent he's going to bring in next year, and the same with Coach Underwood.
Yeah. Although they really swung and missed on just about all their transfers this year in basketball, I think. I mean, outside of
KJ's a first-round draft pick.
He's not a transfer, though.
I'm just talking about the recruiting game of Underwood.
But like Trey White had a good year, but like Humrick House, I did not think was very good. And, you know, the rest, like Jake Davis, he wasn't very good either. The top end guys in the portal, you know, you can hit sometimes, but I feel like a lot of, more often than not, it's a miss.
But
with Taryn Shannon, obviously, they hit it out of the park. So
what do they say? There's a reason they're transferring.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, it's, I wouldn't say it's a 50-50 proposition, but I just think he's the right personality to play the portal. And you don't hear Underwood complain about the portal like some of the other established coaches, like Izzo. He always whines about it, well, because you can't stockpile the talent anymore. And then what did you think of, you know, following Iowa with, you know, two kids from the Western Big Six that played there with Brock Harding and Owen Freeman? For me, it's always interesting to see those type of kids where they transfer. And I just think it's so crazy that, you know, Owen Freeman's going to Creighton, and then you see Brock Harding's going to Texas Christian University. So that's to me kind of a wild story about, man, that's a ways from Iowa for Harding, and then a little closer for Freeman going to Omaha to play at Creighton. But I thought those were interesting stories. And then after, you know, Iowa hires McCollum, you think, well, are they, maybe some of the kids will come back. And the one Sanford kid, the younger brother of Peyton Sanford, is coming back to play at Iowa. So what about the transfers with the two local kids, I guess?
Well, I think Freeman, I mean, he had such a good year that I know in talking with people, like, Iowa's NIL collective for men's basketball is really, really low in terms of, you know, nationally and in the Big Ten too, where he's going to be getting a lot more money, I think, playing at Creighton. And Harding probably will be getting more money too, I would think. And, like, I know they were both McCaffrey recruits. Well, that probably plays into a little bit too. But I think, like, in as bad as Iowa was this past year and as bad as their attendance was, like, I mean, I think, like, Freeman, he kind of outgrew that program, really. I mean, he could have went and played for, you know, teams that are going to be way, way better than Iowa. And I know I like the McCollum hire for them, but, I mean, they're going to have a completely new roster. I mean, completely new. It's going to be like Illinois this year where there's, like, going to be two or three kids back maybe overall for them at Iowa.
Yeah, and like, the NIL thing you mentioned, such a different game. And what his pull is with Freeman going to Omaha and playing for Creighton and what the base is there for that basketball program, because Creighton doesn't have a football program. Right. And you look at the Iowa NIL with basketball, what they're competing with wrestling and in football and in women's basketball. So it's always – and it'll be interesting to see moving forward, you know, getting back to Illinois – to see what other players potentially are leaving and what type of talent is coming in.
Yeah, it never ends. It never slows down. That's for sure. Did you stay up and watch the end of the Houston-Purdue game last night?
I didn't, but I saw the highlights this morning.
Yeah, great game. Great game. So, amazing. And then the women's tournament rolls on, huh? That was a good game with South Carolina and Maryland. I was watching that a little bit yesterday. It was like afternoon into the early evening.
Yeah, and then the one kid, you know, I know men's basketball gets the headlines, but I keep forgetting that a Western Big Six kid was playing for NC State a lot of minutes, and it's so crazy that
they were playing LSU, right?
Yeah, kid's from United Township High School and goes from there to top level women's college basketball program, and then we saw what happened to the United Township High School girls basketball program this year with an unbelievable drop. And I tell people the women's game, to me, still the last couple of years, they have the bigger personalities, because I think isn't the one game today, TCU plays Notre Dame.
Yeah, that'll be a great game.
They have a couple of players that are big personalities, and I think that game tips off at noon today, so that's one of the games I'm
My younger sisters are mad at me because my national championship pick is the TCU Horned Frogs. I have them beating UConn in the championship, and my younger sisters are huge UConn Huskies and Paige Beckers fans, and AZ Fudd too. But I'm rooting for Haley Van Lith and the Horned Frogs. Yeah,
so I won't name the name, but there's like a family that has a pool in this town, and it's all for good fun. There's no illegal wagering. I think I'm still winning the women's pool, but I picked USC to win and the Juju Watkins player got hurt.
Yeah, so in trouble.
Yeah,
you're
in trouble. So anyway, all right. So you got that going on today with the women's today, and then the women's tomorrow, and the men's tomorrow, and then the women's wrapping up Monday for the weekend. So covered a lot of ground today, and I think we'll have a fun interview next week in studio, because I like what Brandon Johnston is doing with this kind of core leadership program at Sherrard High School. And we're going to get him in studio next week and talk about that. And Brandon Johnston's a good guest that can talk about a lot of different things, because he was a small school kid that grew up in Cambridge and then coached, you know, a co-op program with Anawan Weathersfield and then now at Sherrard. So there's a lot of different topics we can talk about with Interscholastic Athletics, and a good guy, and it'll be fun to talk with him next week.
Yeah, I love Coach Johnson. It'll be great to get him in Duleto. He said he'll see us. He called it the Taj Mahal of local radio stations. So we'll see him next week, hopefully.
Yep. All right, so we're at the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Toledo for Ty Taylor. I'm Jim Taylor. You've been listening to the WRMJ Sportsline.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Toledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.